Welcome to the Fanboy Factor Podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how you doing today?
Doing good, sir. Doing good. How are you?
Not bad. So this past weekend we had D23.
Yes, sir.
And I know that D23 has been around for a while now, and I don't know, I guess it's like everything else. It just seems to be getting bigger and bigger, and the news that coming out of it, maybe it's because of the properties that Disney owns now, it just seems to get, I don't know, bigger and bigger.
Well, it started off as a magazine. It started off as a club.
Okay.
And then eventually, it's in 2009.
Oh, that's when it started as a con?
Yeah.
Source and expo?
Yeah, it started off, it was the ultimate fan experience. The D stands for Disney, duh. Yeah. And the 23 stands for the year when Disney arrived in Hollywood and founded the company.
I knew that had some sort of significance.
Yeah, and for the most part, it's been like, it's mainly for hardcore Disney fans, for the most part, the actual Disney properties and things like that, and anything associated with that. But now with that, they own more properties like Star Wars, Marvel, and stuff, and you know, the Muppets. It's now encompasses those properties now,
right?
Which is why they weren't at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
It's just, it makes financial a lot more sense to have your own convention.
Especially since you're doing it already.
Yeah. But it's, you know, and again, like we discussed, you know, I still feel that, you know, you're missing out a lot of your core, you know, geek fans.
I agree with you because you figure San Diego Comic-Con is mid-July.
Right.
And then this one is mid-August, so it's a month later. It is weird. Yeah. I mean, on one hand, I understand, like you just said, I understand financially, I don't even financially make sense. Just it makes sense if you're throwing your own con to have your stuff and all your stuff at your own con.
Yeah, it's
but on the other hand, you know that the hardcore geeks are at San Diego Comic-Con, the guys that are buying tickets, buying the toys, and all the other crap.
Exactly.
It just seems, I don't know.
It's
more of a crap. If you want to be cynical about it, it just seems like more of a cash grab than
only. You can almost say elitist too.
I would say that as well.
You could almost say elitist in a way. Because, you know, now you're ostracizing, you know, your core fans of both Marvel and Star Wars.
You know, Star Wars, on one hand, I see them keeping, I don't want to see separate. I mean, I understand them keeping that separate, but San Diego, and I mean, I understand it. Marvel makes way more sense having them at San Diego Comic-Con because, hey, that's what it is. It's a Comic-Con. It's still Marvel. DC. I mean, they're the core.
Marvel Comics. It's the backbone. That's where it's the starting medium is comics.
Right.
I mean, yeah, they have had a presence there for their comics and stuff. Yeah. And obviously, what, you know, their TV shows. But, you know, that's about it. I did also find it weird. It's just like Netflix wasn't at San Diego.
Yeah.
So I figured they'd be at D23. They weren't even there either.
They weren't there for that either.
I think they're trying to keep it family friendly. Let's face it, they're talking about some of the things I'm hearing about with Jessica Jones is one of the things about the comic books that really was very controversial that Brian Bendis wrote into Alias that's based on Jessica Jones her having anal sex from Luke Cage.
Really?
Yeah, and it looked like it hurt, and yet she was enjoying it. I mean, talk about rock hard. I mean, Jesus. And there are rumors, and it's floating around that they're going to kind of imply that scene into this TV series. And
really?
And then you got characters like the Punisher, obviously, and, you know, this is, that's going to be in Daredevil 2, so it's, you know, nothing, it's weird. It's just like, nothing for San Diego, nothing for D23. When are you going to do something with this? I mean, are we going to...
Well, I keep reading about Jessica Jones that it's supposed to be real dark.
Yeah.
So, you're right. I now that you say that, it makes sense that they wouldn't have it at D23. Maybe they just...
Yeah.
But then you gotta have it at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
At least it makes sense to have it at Comic-Con.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, maybe it'll be at New York Comic-Con, because we're filming, both shows are filming right now, are both filming in New York City.
And they're supposed to be happening toward the winter, right?
Yeah.
Like, premiering in the winter.
Yeah, Jessica Jones is, the last quarter of this year, and Daredevil is supposed to be the first quarter of next year.
Oh, Daredevil is next year, okay.
Yeah, first quarter.
Okay.
But, you know, it's, when are they going to open it up to, you know, the fans? It's kind of weird. But, you know, going back to this D23, you know, it's, like I said, at the same time, you know, I'm still calm. Still going on my little nerd rant rage about Feig, about, you know, oh, go big or, you know, go home. Well, you know, you went big and you're a fucking liar, so.
Yeah.
But, like I said, from a business standpoint, I get it. But yeah. Just, you know, let's call a spade, you prick.
Yeah. What I think is interesting is what will happen over the next couple years as D23 gets bigger and bigger, with all the Star Wars properties coming together, the Episode 7, that coming out next, the Rogue One series coming out, the Han Solo series, and then if these Netflix shows are happening, and then as the Marvel Universe grows, it'll just be interesting to see what becomes of Marvel / Disney / Star Wars presence at San Diego Comic Con as opposed to D23.
Yeah, it's. I think the comics are going to stay at San Diego because they're not. Again, that's not their core audience.
Yeah.
I don't think they. I think if they put up a Marvel Comics booth there at D23 and had panels, I think it'd fail epically.
Well, just as a. As comic book writers or as followers or whatever you want to classify us as, going out to San Diego is an expense, and then you figure going out there for the expo is just, it's too soon. That's what I was trying to say earlier. It's,
it's too much fun. It's
interesting how big, if D23 gets big enough where people got to start choosing between going to San Diego, or am I going to go to D23?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, whereas before, like you said, it was just mostly Disney properties. And
right.
But now that things are getting commingled, like, if San Diego is not going to have any Marvel properties, if Disney's not going to have any Marvel problems at San Diego properties, and they're going to run it at D23, then it's kind of like, well, what am I doing here? Not only do they have Marvel, but they got Star Wars, and Star Wars is big now.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I mean, there was a lot of that. It's just like everything was just, you know, there was a couple, you know, things were talking, you know, two Marvel things, but the rest was like pretty much all Star Wars.
All Star Wars. Well, just, from what I saw, they had a, which I cannot stand, a description of the trailer for Captain America.
Yeah.
Look, you know, just, I get why they do it. They show it at the, for everybody that goes there, great.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
But it drives me nuts. I refuse to read a description about a trailer. Perhaps a movie, but just show me the fucking trailer already.
Well, again, it's just like, why haven't they released it to the general public by now? Again, this is why I think it's a little elitist on their part.
And you know what else? Were there any leaks of the trailer? I thought I saw there was one, but it was taken down real quick.
I got to see the trailer. God, someone needs to build a steady cam that goes onto a camera phone.
Yeah.
Because...
So you did see the trailer.
I did see the trailer. I had no clue what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
Started off with all this war reenactment stuff. I couldn't hear a damn thing because, you know, you got the audience going, ah!
Yeah.
And, you know, I really couldn't tell what was going on. I mean, there was a picture released yesterday of, it's been kind of revealed that, the Winter Soldier gets his mind gets his memories back.
He gets his mind unscrewed?
Yeah, and there was a picture of him and, Howard Mackey.
Yeah, Falcon. Yeah, I saw that picture running.
Yeah, not exactly a flattering picture, because if you look at it, whoever took it at that moment, you see Sebastian Stan's tongue out. I'm just like, okay, this was obviously a professional picture. There had to be another shot. Come on. This is the promotional image you're releasing? It's just like, oh my god. But, you know, I'm a huge Winter Soldier fan, so I'm looking forward to seeing this back. And, you know, it's... From what I'm reading, it's just Civil War is supposed to be Stark and War Machine against everybody.
Is that what they're saying?
That's what I thought I read, for the most part, choosing sides.
I read recently, I don't know how true it is, that Tom Holland was back in Germany. He's playing Spider-Man.
You're right.
So it sounds like maybe Spider-Man doesn't just have a bit part in this movie anymore.
Hmm.
And not only that, now this, you take this for a grain of salt as well. I've seen somewhere over the last couple weeks that he may have two costumes in this movie. Spider-Man. So,
we talked about that a couple weeks ago with those theoretically leaks about where
one. Right, but I was under the impression it was just going to be one costume, but now it sounds like if they're talking two, if any of this is true, if they're talking two costumes in this movie, then it sounds like he may have a bigger role than just showing up in the trailer credits.
This also sounds like it's going to kind of follow the comic where he sides with Stark, and so, yeah. Like Stark will probably give him a nicer costume.
Yeah.
Instead of whatever he put through together.
You know, I'm reading, because I didn't read it the first time when it was released, I'm reading Civil War,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I'm about halfway through it now, and Parker doesn't really have that big of a part in it. I mean, he has a critical part in it.
He has a critical part, which doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
It's
it's not like this whole story revolves around him.
No, I think it's one of the worst. A lot of people love it. I think it's one of the worst storylines ever that Marvel ever came up with. I have a lot of problems with it. I mean, first off, I can understand the event that brought everything into motion just didn't make any sense. To call the peacekeeping force, their public name is Cape Killers, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
To have Spider-Man, who's been very hush-hush with the secret, so anal about it, all of a sudden just pull off his mask in public, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that really is bothersome to me.
And the big thing that really pissed me off,
yeah,
was the death of Bill Foster, a.k.a. Giant Man.
Yeah.
A character who hasn't been used up until that part for about 10 years.
Yeah.
And they pretty much brought him in just to kill him off.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. I'm sorry, in my mind, that's bullshit. That's why I think it's one of the worst stories ever.
Well, so, with all that being said, it should be very interesting to see how they're going to deal with it. I wonder if they're just going to go the route, the Age of Ultron route, where it's just in name only, or, you know...
Well, there is a Superhero Registration Act, but I started thinking about this, and I'm like, you look at the heroes who we've seen so far in the Marvel Universe, other than Daredevil, who's technically a part of the Marvel Universe, they all have public identities.
Yeah, I was thinking that myself. Pete's the only one who's got a secret identity.
Yeah, him and Daredevil, and Daredevil's not in it, so what is the point?
Yeah.
what is the point of this entire, you know, going to get, because that's, in the comic, that's, you know, Cap didn't fully agree with the Registration Act, he understood it, but when they wanted the identities, that's what he was protecting.
Yeah.
And so it's, in a world where people, where somebody like Chris Evans can't keep the fucking mask on, what is the point of this entire registration, fighting against the Registration Act? Then again, I can only go by what I know, you know.
Right. So what was the other part of, what was the other Marvel thing that you heard come out at D23?
Was a description of what, and some test art of Doctor Strange.
Oh, I didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
Anything interesting?
It just, a lot of people are saying it looks kind of trippy.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much about it. And it was pretty much a video of Benedict Cumberbatch, you know, thank the fans for coming in a video. The only reason he didn't make it out there, he's on a London show doing Hamlet.
Yeah.
So, you know, that makes sense. But, you know, it was, just as was a pre-production piece, but from what I'm hearing, it's just like, it was pretty much some images and stuff, the outs, the magic realm that you see, it's kind of trippy looking. I really didn't hear too much else about it.
That's cool. And that's slated for 2016, right?
Yeah, October.
End of the year, right?
Yeah, October. October 26th.
Interesting.
That one's, you know, again, another huge gamble on that one.
Yeah. And then the rest of it was Star Wars.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, no new footage.
No.
No trailer. And J.J. Abrams said ahead of time he wasn't going to show any footage or any new footage. But there was still like a ton of Star Wars stuff. Did you see, now I don't know if this came out of D23 or what, but right before all this came together, they were like the new Lego sets were leaked, Star Wars Lego sets. And the Hasbro figures, the Black Series line. Did you see any of those?
I saw some people post them because the Walmart, some Walmarts didn't listen to the embargo date.
Yeah, I did. I saw that as well, but I saw more pictures of, they looked official, of the Black Series line. So I was wondering if they showed them off as part of all the Star Wars. I've been a little bit out of the loop the last couple of days, so my D23 stuff is, I'm a little behind on it.
Yeah, I was just pure overwhelmed. I mean, it's just, it was a lot to take in.
Yeah, it's like Comic-Con. It's just, and it pings, 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 and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, it really just hit like a tsunami. It just like, I mean, a lot of the Star Wars stuff, you know, they're talking about now a full-size park instead of just a little section.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. They're also talking about now an Iron Man section, which I'm a little.
I saw in Disneyland that they were going to do a Marvel land as well. I didn't follow up on it. I saw they were going to do Star Wars land in both parks, in Disneyland and Walt Disney World. They were going to do a Toy Story land in Disney World and a Marvel land over in Disneyland. Now, where and what, I didn't see what they were talking about. So you're saying they were talking about doing an Iron Man,
right? Yeah, and they have to be very careful, though, because they don't own the rights to, they can't do a theme park based on the comic versions, because Universal still has those.
Okay, but they can do it on the movie versions.
They can do it on the movie versions.
Wow, that's interesting.
A little loophole like that,
Yeah, go figure. I wonder what Universal thinks of that.
Probably not happy seeing how they have an entire island dedicated to Marvel. But then again, they really haven't been pushing that for late. Ever since Disney took over, they've been more pushing the Harry Potter stuff. But then again, I think the Harry Potter is like more popular than Marvel.
Yeah, they really are. And it sounds like Disney's finally going to be taking a page out of that whole Harry Potter world and applying it to Star Wars.
Yeah.
It sounds like the lands in both the parks, we're going to be 14 acres, and they're going to be super immersive with this stuff, that it's going to be a whole new world of Star Wars. It's not going to be like Tatooine or Hoth or any planet that we already know.
Right.
And they're saying there's going to be two like signature rides, a Falcon ride, a Millennium Falcon ride, and some war kind of simulation.
Yeah.
Post-Jedi war simulation. But, you know, the thing is, this is what I love. Like, they're talking about this stuff, and it's great that they announce it, mm-hmm. and it creates a lot of buzz. But, dude, they're not starting it until 2017 at the earliest.
Right.
That's 2 fucking years away just to start it. If it takes them 5 years, it took them 5 years to do Cars Land in Disneyland. If it takes them 5 years, you're not talking until 2022.
I look how long it's just to do friggin' Epcot.
Jesus Christ, that's a lifetime, man.
I know. It really is.
10 years from now. So, well, like I said, while it is cool that they trot this stuff out, man, you got a long fucking wait ahead of you.
I know. It's just like they aren't really talking about anything current. They talk obviously about, you know, some of their other Disney properties, their, you know, some of the other movies, the live action Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Now
they're doing live action everything.
God. You know, the next, Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
I don't get that. I saw that Orlando Bloom signed on for that.
Yeah.
I guess they, I don't know.
What looks interesting, but unfortunately I feel like is very predictable, is that Star Wars Rogue One.
Now, is that a standalone movie, or are they going to try and stretch the trilogy out for that?
No, that is a standalone movie that takes right before Star Wars. This is how the Rebels got the plot is you get a ragtag group of Rebels who end up stealing the plants for the Death Star.
All right, so this takes place before New Hope.
Yeah.
Because like, I like to refer to A New Hope as Star Wars.
Yeah.
It will always be Star Wars.
It will always be Star Wars to me. I'm sorry. But, you know, this takes, like, right before, probably, like, a month or two or, you know, whatever, you know, a week or two beforehand. Unfortunately, it just got a feeling of, it's just, I feel like it's things like this we've seen before.
Yeah.
You got a ragtag group who has to steal something, and you know probably all of them except one is going to die.
And it is, it's got that prequel feel because you already know what happens.
Yeah, you look at the image that they have, it definitely does not look, it looks very dark and gritty and, you know.
Those two words, dark and gritty.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to knock it, but at the same time, it's just like, he's pretty much telling the same story that's been told 50 million other times in the Star Wars universe now.
Yeah. Well, I guess what'll be interesting is how they fit that 70s feel of Star Wars into that movie.
It doesn't even look like they're trying to.
Yeah, they're just giving up on that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the other thing that I think that was announced was that, or maybe JJ announced it before, was that he is not directing episode 8.
Yeah.
He's just doing 7.
He's just doing 7.
He's not doing 8. Did he say why?
No.
Huh.
Yeah, Colin Trevorrow is...
And they did announce the director, right?
Yeah, Colin Trevorrow. The only thing I'm familiar with is an independent film, Safety Not Guaranteed, mm-hmm. which was really quirky, kind of... I thought it was, you know, it was interesting. I mean, he also, you know, but then again, he went from that to Jurassic World, so,
yeah.
You know, anything's possible.
You know what I think would be an interesting topic or article or something like that is a comparison of how the Star Wars universe, if you want to call it that, is run as compared to the Marvel one. Because they are, you know, how Marvel does things is completely different, you know, when it comes to their properties and their movies than, say, Star Wars. Lucasfilms was doing it. So I would, it's, Maybe I'm the only one to find it. We'd be curious.
Well, I think the main difference is Marvel is a separate business. That's the thing. Well,
yeah.
You know, while it is a property, it is still run like a business. While Star Wars is mainly just run like a property.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little easier to do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have also like 70 years of history that you gotta somehow hear of. It's just like, you have, you know, you start off on number 4, you just go forward, or in that case, you went forward, then you went back, badly, and now you go forward again.
Yeah.
you know, the future going forward is now going to be more interesting. There's been like some pictures really that somebody took, of Luke in his full Jedi outfit.
Yeah, that were quickly removed from the internet.
Looks good though.
Yeah.
He does look good.
And which is kind of cool, what I think is kind of cool, is that the assumption is that Luke was going to go evil, or was going to be evil in this. And from that image, you can tell he's got light robes on, he's got robes like Obi-Wan. Yeah. He doesn't have dark robes on or anything like that. So I think that's kind of cool. At least you get a frame of where Luke is in all this.
Now, have you heard about the villain, though? His background, his backstory.
I saw a little bit that he, like, worships Vader.
Yeah, he's pretty much a Vader fanboy, and that's why he kind of looks like Vader, and he built his own lightsaber that looks like that.
Yeah.
He's a Vader fanboy, which I think is the funniest damn thing.
I think it's kind of cool. You know what? It's kind of neat, because you figure that over, it kind of makes sense that, because these things happen where, you know, cults happen, cults. Yeah. So I think it's kind of, it should be interesting.
No, I think it's funny and really interesting. I think it's really a cool way to do it, too. But it's just kind of funny. It's just like, oh, my God, a Vader fanboy.
And you figured that it's 30 years later, so. I don't, you know, to me, Star Wars is those three movies. It's Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi.
Yeah.
And anything else, I just have, this is just me talking. I just have a problem accepting as anything in the Star Wars. You know, the books, even the prequels. I know it's there, and I enjoy it on some level. But Star Wars will always be those three movies to me, no matter what they add, and everything else is like, okay, Yoda's in this, and Obi-Wan's in that. I don't know. So I'm cautiously optimistic about these movies coming up.
I feel the same way, but at the same time, I was a little, though I didn't follow it, I wasn't, didn't follow it, I did, was aware of it, was the expanded universe that started with Dark Horse when they were running the comic.
I've read a couple of those trades, and like I said, it's okay,
I was more accepting of the way that family developed.
Yeah.
Luke marrying Mara Jade and all that stuff. I don't know, for some reason I was just more accepting of that than I... And, I'm just a little cautious on this. But then again, look at what Lucas did with the first three. And so, I don't know, can we really do any worse?
I hope not.
Yeah.
Man, do I hope not.
For me, Abrams brought back, he actually made Star Trek interesting for me. So
yeah.
That's... I feel like that's in good hands. I wish he wanted to do the entire trilogy. I don't understand why he doesn't. But, I can't. Like I said, I haven't seen Jurassic World. I only saw Safety's Not Guaranteed, and that was such a low-budget film.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't know enough about the director. I mean, like I said, Safety Not Guaranteed was a very quirky kind of film, dark, I don't want to say black, it's just very independent, quirky stuff, so I don't want to say, it wasn't dark, but it was different.
Yeah.
It was a little hard to explain, but it was a good watch, though. But I don't know what to think,
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of these wait-and-see situations.
Yeah.
It's just the gluttony of, God.
So, anything else from D23 you want to talk about before we move on? Because I want to talk about something. I'm done with D23. I don't know what to make of this. Maybe you can help me out with it.
Yeah.
It was announced this week. NBC is going to run a pilot, or ordered a pilot, an office comedy set in the DCU. It's called Powerless.
Yeah.
And as I understand it, it is, I guess, what it's like to work in an office in
insurance.
Yeah, in the DC universe. So, I don't know.
I could just see it. I'm sorry, sir. I do understand that the man did knock down that building on your car. I do not have that in your claim.
Yes.
Please.
I give it to them for wanting to try something else. You got to give them credit for that.
I understand that, but I'm just like, this is, it's going to be like Office, The Office, and I'm not a fan of that documentary style comedy. I don't find it funny.
But even beyond that, I don't get it. Like, of all the properties that are out there in the DC universe.
But that's not, but that's not the only DC property that they're bringing, though. They are planning on doing a TV show based on the movie Red.
Okay, well, that's a separate.
But that's not based in the DC universe, though. So.
Yeah, it seems to me like NBC wanted to get in on this whole superhero thing. And maybe it was around the time it was decreed that there weren't going to be any more spinoffs. Thank God that happened.
But
because that needs to happen.
But yeah, it's, I don't know, they already bombed with Constantine, and they claimed there wasn't enough viewers. I'm like, well, don't put it on a freaking Friday night.
They neutered it. Neutered the property. It didn't belong on NBC.
No, it didn't belong in that time. It didn't belong in that time slot.
Absolutely. CBS got the right property. They got Supergirl. That's something that would be perfect for NBC.
Yes.
CBS got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't take, Arrow and Flash and Legends of Tomorrow away from the CW because that's what they're doing. You still have Gotham on Fox. Like, I find it hard to believe that NBC couldn't. I keep saying NBC. NBC's just picking this up. They're just picking up the pilot. They're not creating the show.
But no one says they have to pick it up.
Right, and I don't think that they necessarily are. I think they're just, as I understand it, they're just picking up the pilot at the moment.
Yeah, but again,
they're showing interest in this pilot.
Yeah, but they don't need to do that. There are other directions you can go with inside the DC universe. This ain't the best one.
Yeah. I don't get it, and I don't, like, what is it? I know it's based on The Office. I get it.
Yeah.
But what in the DC universe is this based off of? Like, is there any kind of hint? There's no comedy in the DC universe. There's no comedy, Brian.
Well, unless you call it, unless you consider the Justice League International.
Which, I don't know, is that still funny?
It was never funny, period. It's not around, thank God.
So, okay, so nothing currently in the DC universe has really any humor in it.
No, not really.
And then to pull this out of, literally out of nowhere, I don't know. I don't know. I can't see this one going anywhere.
They have a series that's supposed to be coming out like this.
DC?
DC Comics, with the characters of Spike with Sugar and Spike.
Oh, that's what this is about?
This seems like it's different, but it's the Sugar and Spike seems almost, the comic seems almost similar.
Okay.
But it's just, why?
I don't know. Like I said, it just seems like they couldn't make the whole Constantine work, which Constantine is not a superhero property.
No.
I don't have a problem with it. Again, it was just on the wrong channel, on the wrong day. Everything was wrong about Constantine. But it's not a superhero thing. And DC is coming to the table a little late.
Yeah, it's, the new comic series about Sugar and Spike, this is what it's saying. It's someone is, Dido. This is what he says. Someone is blackmailing the world's greatest heroes with embarrassing secrets from their past, and it's up to the only two people every hero trusts, Detective Sugar and Spike, to find out who the culprit is. Really?
Is Keith Giffen right now? I wonder.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Can we just... He needs to be stopped.
Well, he seems to be getting a lot of... I don't want to say work thrown his way from DC, but he's been doing a lot of work for DC lately.
That doesn't mean it's any good.
I'm not saying that. I'm just...
just because someone's getting a lot of work doesn't mean it's again good.
I just find it curious. I don't know. And that Sugar and Spike is like a reboot of an old, really old property that has nothing to do with what you just described.
Yeah, it was too...
They were two little kids.
Not even little kids, they were babies. They couldn't talk. All they could talk to each other, but it was all for thought balloons.
Yeah.
And when they'd speak to adults, it was like, goo goo gaga.
I don't know.
It's... I hope this bombs. I will admit I am saying that out of spite because of what they did with Constantine, putting in the wrong freaking time slot and neutering it to begin with.
Yeah.
Which I'm still trying to wrap my head around why they did when the show a lot worse in, you know, like SVU and shit like that.
Yeah. But the good news about Constantine is that he does live on at least for an episode in Arrow.
Yes, and a nice tie-in for both Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
That is the way they're planning on bringing him back, introducing him. Works so freaking well.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, we've been all, you know, we all knew about, you know, the original Canary coming back as White Canary. We all knew that she was going to be dipped in the Lazarus pit.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're going to have some mysticism with it. So that's why Constantine is kind of called in to help her deal with it. Because
I hope this guy can parlay this into something. Either a regular role on the show or a regular role on Legends of Tomorrow, just something.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a good fit. It's the fact that he doesn't wear a costume and he's more of a competence man works perfectly. Yeah, I think it's going to be his interaction with Arrow's really going to be interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Because Arrow is always on edge and this guy is just like, as the English say, an arse. So I'm looking forward to that one.
I am too.
And like I said, it really ties everything together, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So.
And speaking of Arrow, what do you make of Starling City being quote unquote rebranded into Star City?
Well, Ray Palmer was trying to do that anyhow.
So I know, but now
it's official as Star City.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a problem.
I don't know. It just seems kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to rack my brain. I got to do a little bit more research, but I can't think of any town that actually rebranded that will change the name of the town. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not good on regular history.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I get Arrow rebranding himself.
Yeah.
And I kind of dig that, but it's just...
I get what, you know, from a marketing standpoint, Palmer calling it Star City.
Yeah.
But to officially change the name, I don't know, I kind of...
And he left the city, by the way.
Yeah.
So, at least I think that he did. I don't know what his...
All we saw was an explosion, and we know that just causes him to shrink.
Yeah, so I don't know what his role is going to be in Star/Starling City... Now that he's going to be on Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, he pretty much signed the company over to Felicity, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
I don't know how I feel about it. On one hand, alright, fine, matches up with the comics. On the other hand, I'm used to Starling City.
Yeah. At this point...
If you're going to call it Star City, you should have done it up front.
Right. It's like, you know... Philadelphia rebranding itself to something else. Whatever. It's no big deal. I just was curious what you thought of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mentioned it earlier. There isn't going to be any more spinoffs on the CW.
Well, it's not just spinoffs. It's, you know, they don't want any more DC properties, period.
Yeah, maybe somebody's listening to our show and we are... You know, no more saturation.
Well, they don't want to be considered the DC network.
CW doesn't.
Yeah, CW doesn't.
Right. Well, that I get. But
I wouldn't be opposed to a DC Network if, you know.
Well, I don't either, but on for the CW side, I understand them not wanting to do any more shows. I mean, three DC shows is a lot. You have a DC block. I don't know. I get it on the branding side, on the marketing side, why they, you know, don't want to spit off anymore.
But on the other hand, it's just like, you know, they got three shows, one miniseries, but one of them isn't set in the same universe.
What, iZombie?
iZombie.
Yeah, I don't consider iZombie part of any of this.
Yeah, but I
seriously doubt that the people that watch iZombie equate it with the DC Universe in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, they probably don't even realize it is a comic.
Exactly. I was just going to say, and I bet if you polled all these viewers, I don't know how high the percentage would be, but I would bet it's relatively high that they didn't even know it was a comic.
Just like with The Walking Dead. You talk to a lot of Walking Dead fans.
Exactly.
A comic.
You got it. Exactly.
Not that I have a problem with that, but it's...
No, there is no problem with it, but...
And I honestly have no problem with more DC shows. Just don't do them as spin-offs of Arrow or Flash.
Well, I don't want to. I'm good with what they got on. Let's just let it ride for a little while.
I'm just saying, you know, you don't need to go more superheroes. There are other titles and characters you can really.
Oh, agreed. You know what? When we talk this stuff, I'm talking superheroes. I totally agree with you. I shouldn't say that they shouldn't do any more comic shows. But when we talk like this, I'm referring to superheroes. Enough superhero shows for the moment.
No, I agree. But, you know, it's all in the presentation, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, you could still do, you know, a superhero show without it seeming, you know, without the costume and without it seeming like a superhero show.
Yeah.
Just, you know, depending on how you, like, you know, like we've talked about before, like, I seriously feel like Deadman could be a great show, technically a superhero, but you do it like, you know, a mesh between, you know, you do it almost kind of like how Quantum Leap was,
mm-hmm.
where he's jumping from body to
body.
Yeah,
that's pretty, that would be pretty interesting.
I mean, there you go. I mean, there's somebody who's a superhero, but you don't have to do it like, he doesn't need to do super heroic things all the damn time.
Right.
But it is possible.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still agree with you about the oversaturation.
It's enough.
It's
I know I come off as whatever, as negative.
But you're not. I mean,
I want this to last, man.
You do, but you know, look what's happening with Star Wars right now. It's just, everybody says there's a huge saturation of superhero stuff, but it's more Star Wars is. While there is a saturation of superhero stuff, it's been spread out.
Yeah.
Star Wars is hitting us like a ton of bricks.
Well, the thing with Star Wars is it's all the announcements. We don't really have anything. I mean, we have the cartoon and we have comics, but we don't have shows. We don't have the movie, at least not yet. It's all this thing that's in the pipeline that, you know, scares me about the saturation point. They just keep announcing this and this and this, oh, and this and this, and at some point, this is all going to come down the pipeline if it's all going to happen, and at that point, it's going to be saturated.
Right.
Let's spread some of it out, man. Whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's just announcing stuff that's not going to be happening.
When you become too critical of stuff, you get backlash. You can't be too critical of stuff.
Yeah, it's...
You can't be a fanboy and be critical at the same time.
But at the same time, you got to stop announcing stuff that's not going to be made for like another 5 years.
That's not going to happen for 20 or for 10 years. That's fucking Star Wars land.
God.
2022. Jesus. You know, and it's funny because when you read it, I mean, and you're hearing about it, you know in your head that this stuff's not going to happen overnight.
No.
When you read 7 years, like, wow, man, that is not... That's not 7 minutes. I'll bet you
$10 they probably sold tickets for opening day right there.
You know, I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised. And then there's, I don't know if you remember, and we're getting off, I'm getting off sidetrack here.
When don't we?
Did you remember that movie, that James Cameron movie, Avatar? They were supposed to make Avatar Land. I don't know if it's still in the works or not.
They say it is.
But, man, they announced that, like, years ago. I want to say 2010? I guess I could look. But it's been a while. And as far as I know, they haven't broke ground on that shit yet either.
No, and quite honestly, I could care less.
I'm with you. I don't really care, but it's funny that they announce these things, and they're announcing them like, you know, I get it. You want to break ground. You want to have ceremony, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Oh, my God. Holy shit. 7 years is a goddamn decade. Nobody's going to be riding any Millennium Falcon ride anytime soon.
Oh, God. It's...
Your son will be 10 when that ride is ready.
At least Six Flags, which is owned by Warner, you know, when they announce something, they announce it. But then again, all it is the same freaking ride with a new name on it.
Yeah. A new twist.
It's, okay, yeah, it's Batman. It's a Batman ride.
Next year, now it's Superman.
Yeah, now it's the Man of Steel ride. Now it's the Arkham Knight ride. we put a little paint on there, guys, and just change the
is
sign.
Is it the Arkham Knight now?
I don't know what it's called. It's the same damn ride. All they do is
first Superman ride.
All they do is put, you know, they change the nameplate and
new graphics.
New graphics, new paint. Yeah, look what we got!
It's so funny.
God,
Warner's owns that park?
I think so. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
That's funny.
I could be wrong.
What else we got going on here?
We got the first pick of, and this is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Of John Bernthal's Punisher look.
Now, are those official picks?
Or
just on street picks?
They look too clean to be unofficial.
No skull.
No skull.
I mean, he don't look bad. He no, doesn't do skull.
I can't. I want the skull. I don't see a big deal.
You know, I hope, God, I hope, they don't, the last episode, they don't put that goddamn skull on him.
Oh, they better not. They need to put that up front.
Like the second show, or whatever the second episode he's on, I want to see that skull on that shirt.
He needs to, that skull is supposed to intimidate fear, and he needs that symbol. It's like Batman. Batman needs a symbol.
Yeah.
So does the Punisher.
Yeah.
He's
a scary looking dude, man.
Yeah.
There's something about that guy is scary looking.
Depends what you're seeing him in. I'm watching him in, I've seen him in comedies and things and other things.
Oh, yeah?
He's a good actor. But they better put a fucking skull on there. You said, just do the same thing that, you know, they did in Punisher Warzone. Paint it on there.
I'm with you. I agree. No reason not to.
No, it's just like, in Warzone, you know, you had the paint, you know, it looks like you just spray painted on. You saw the paint drippings on there, too.
That's perfect. All you need, man. I'm with you.
No costume. You don't need to get fancy. But you do need that skull.
That is fan service right there.
You know, the second Punisher film with Thomas Jane and Punisher Warzone had it right. No costume, just a symbol somehow.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, Lundgren's was missing. And unfortunately, right now, it's looking they're going the Lundgren route, which it just doesn't, I don't know.
No, I'm with you. He's not the Punisher without that symbol.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope, and I also hope they don't go the route of not calling him the Punisher. Call him what it is. He doesn't have to call himself the Punisher, but I want him to get that code name.
It'll be a newspaper that does it.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the way it should go.
Media will do it somehow.
Yeah. Or somebody will say he's the Punisher, and you're right, the media will pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
You punish those, man.
Yeah,
you punish
exactly.
Those guys, man.
You got it.
New York underworld struck by Punisher.
Yeah. You got it.
Whatever. Can't be way of doing it, but, you know, hey, can't beat the classics sometimes.
No.
Classics work.
Just want to see that skull.
Yes.
Hey, you're a fan of The Crow, right?
Huge fan, yes.
What do you think of this troubled reboot and the creator, James O'Barr, is saying it's definitely happening? What do you think of all of it? Does it need to happen?
I don't know.
Now, you're a fan of the original, right? You're not so much the sequels.
Sequels just, I don't know. I see, in the books, it was just like after the main character, Draven, died, you know, the Crow concept kept going.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, but it just, I don't know, the other movies just didn't work for me.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying without, but I did read some Crow novels.
Yeah.
Where it was different people who had the Crow, and it worked there. It's just a matter of having the right combination.
Okay.
Redoing the Eric Draven story, personally, I'm against it.
I haven't seen The Crow in many years now. I remember seeing it.
I saw it a couple weeks ago. I love it. It's one of my
favorites.
Yes.
How does it hold up?
I think it still holds up. It's a great dark, you know, it's just like, it just has this look of, you can't, it's set in modern times, but it's gritty, so you really can't, it's almost like, you know, Tim Burton's Batman, where you really couldn't tell what time it was, but you knew it was now.
Yeah.
But it works still. For me, at least for me.
Yeah, well, I remember coming out and just being fucking blown away by it.
I remember walking out of the theater screaming, why couldn't they get him to do the Batman movie?
I remember thinking, like, this is what Batman should be.
Yes.
It's just, I mean, you're talking 1994. I mean, fucking 20 years already, 21 years. And I remember being, like I said, blown away by it. Great movie. Brandon Lee played a great part. God rest that guy's soul.
It's like, it's such a complex film. It's just, you can't put it in. I've seen people try and shoehorn it into action. I've seen people shoehorn it into horror. It's also a love story, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many layers to this film. It's not even funny. I mean, the book is really huge and deep, and it's really hard to translate all that into a film, but I thought they did an amazing job.
How does the book compare to, I know you just said it, but how does the book compare to the movie?
Well, it's deep. It's very deep. It's a very...
Is the movie a good adaptation of the book?
No, not really.
It's not? Okay.
No. The book goes a lot deeper. You know, it's still a raping, but it takes place on the side of a road where the, you know, the couple's car breaks down.
Yeah.
That little girl Sarah really isn't a part of their lives. It's a slower paced type of thing. But when Obar wrote it, it's a personal story to him because he just lost the love of his life.
Yeah.
And he was angry and upset and sad and unfortunately listening to a lot of Cure music.
Oh, that'll do it too.
Well, I mean, he based it on, he based the Crow on, you know, Robert Smith.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
How about that? Interesting.
You know, so it's such a personal thing for him.
I'm with you. I don't think Draven's story needs to be retold,
mm-hmm.
but I could see them bringing the Crow back into somebody else.
That's what I'm saying. It's just
That I think I'm down with. And actually, I might want to see that, see how they do it today.
Yeah, I mean, I say continue the legend of the Crow.
Yes, exactly. Like that whole Red Hood feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Just say it's in continuity with the rest of the films, and, you know,
yeah.
I would be fine with that. And, you know, but I just don't want a reboot of what I feel is just one of my favorite films.
It's one of those unnecessary reboots.
Yeah.
Which we've really been getting a lot of lately.
Unfortunately. I just don't understand what more they can do except add gore to it, you know. It's really, I don't know.
Yeah. And that's not really, doing that doesn't enhance the movie any.
No.
You know, it just, some things are just done in their dumbness.
Yeah. It's just, it's good as it is.
Agreed. Was there anything else you want to talk about?
I know, you know, our Sean Ashmore is kind of pushing to either do a Iceman film or play Ghost Rider.
Do either of those No offense to Sean Ashmore. Do we need either of those movies?
Not really.
I know for a fact we do not need another Ghost Rider picture. I don't care if it's him as Ghost Rider or somebody else. There is no need for it. I mean, it's just there's no need. And as for Iceman, I don't know. Can he carry a picture by himself?
Not with the level of technology they're using right now. I mean, it's barely an ice form as it was in the past couple of films.
And he's even saying just to do one picture. I don't know. Just
no.
What I'm kind of afraid of Fox doing is like this whole Gambit thing where they're just taking a character and they're building something around a character that's not really there. Like Bobby Drake was always a part of the team. That's what he was, the comic relief of the team, or he still is, and that's what makes him, you know, good. He's got somebody to play off of. I don't know that he carries a movie.
No,
they're going to put a supporting cast around him. I just don't see it.
No, I mean Gambit. Yeah, I could see
Gambit. Okay, he's a little bit different, but
yeah,
Gambit wasn't like part of the team. He's his own thing. He's got a rogue going on.
Yeah, he's got his own. He's got the mysterious, you know, past, and, you know, the warring clans and all that other stuff. So. I mean, it makes sense for him to carry a film.
But you know, Iceman, not so much, man. I just don't see it.
And Ghost Rider, maybe, let's talk after the Doctor Strange film, because we still have to introduce magic to this new cinematic universe. So we got to see how well that magic is accepted by the fans before you really start talking Ghost Rider.
Yeah, those effects on that second Ghost Rider movie are awful.
That entire film is just awful.
That Nick Cage, I forget what it was, the name of it.
Spirits of Vengeance.
Yeah, Spirits of Vengeance. Oh, awful. Terrible.
There's another character that just can't seem to do right. They just can't seem to get they, I don't know, it's just like the comics.
Like, to me, I don't want to say it's common sense, but how can you go wrong with, really, most of these characters, how do you go wrong with these guys? You got years upon years of story. Maybe that's what the problem is. They have all these stories. Pick one. I mean, the characters fleshed out already. All these are no-brainers. How do they fuck them up? I'm not a screenwriter. I don't make movies.
All I can say is just go back and listen to what Kevin Smith talks about when he had to write the script for Superman.
What did he say?
It pretty much the studio was just like, as a writer, he gets bored easily, so he would change up the name from Superman to Kal-El. The producer took one look at the script and said, so who's this Kal-El guy?
Right. I understand what you're saying. But that's me wondering, like, just let the writers do their fucking job, know the material, and you'll have a fucking movie.
I know.
It's a no-brainer, man.
A lot of this stuff can translate very easily, and they overcomplicate it, and it is possible to, I mean, like Green Lantern is just like, there's a world where they tried to have too much for the fans.
Yes. You think so? I don't know. I think they totally... obviously, they totally ruined it, but I think they just...
They didn't know what direction to go into.
Yeah, they just stick to what's there. Stick to the basics. I mean, I get you gotta create something for a mass audience. I still say, you just go in, adapt the material, get years of material to adapt. How hard could it be?
Yeah.
Again, I don't do any of this stuff for a living. I'm just sitting here in my chair... quarterbacking, but I don't know.
You know what I think would probably make a decent film, which would be a fresh departure from the regular Marvel Universe.
What's that?
If they do a Hawkeye film, base it like, you know, he moves his family to the city and you kind of go with the Matt Fraction Hawkeye.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
I think it'd be kind of interesting. Just, you know, a little lighter tone to it.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, that's, you know what, Brian? That is a Netflix show right there.
Yeah.
I would watch that religiously. All you got to do is get this guy bow and arrow. You can totally base it on Fraction's work.
You would just have to. You would have to factor in his family, though. That's the only thing, because in the Fraction series, he's single. So
yeah, well, that's,
but
however you want to do it.
A good writer could do that.
Yeah, I mean, you can adapt it. The point is, you don't, like you said, he doesn't have powers. He doesn't need the powers. He can just, somebody told a great story about Hawkeye. It's easily a season on Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you could even do it as a standalone film. You know, like I said, move the family to the city. He ends up taking over its tenement building.
Yeah.
You know, he has to protect it from, you know, the...
Well, look,
the mob.
The family is more things that he's got to worry about. He's
got
to protect. Or it's just him and the dog in Fractions Run. Now he's got to worry about his kids. These guys getting a hold of his kids. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm watching that.
It could be done. Well, his family was a secret, too, so... Yeah, they could still do it with the Fractions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could work. It really could.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's just like, because it had some humor and stuff like that, I think it'd be like a fresh departure from what we've seen so far from the Hawkeye character, and it just be a little different from what,
yeah,
the regular Marvel Universe, and more of that lighter fare that Guardians and Ant-Man gave us, but now we
yes.
got, it's a different take on an established character, and I think that would be very interesting.
I'm with you. Of course, What's-His-Face is never going to do that.
I don't know, you'd be surprised sometimes.
You think?
The right property comes along, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know Jeremy. I mean, he made fun of himself on Saturday Night Live with that arrow bit.
Yeah.
So anything.
That's true.
You know, anything's possible. You know, with the right script, who knows?
Yeah. So, what do you got going on this week?
Just catching up on reviews and stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How's your Grant Morrison thesis coming along?
Oh, God.
Stuck?
I'm just... My problem is I'm writing, I keep slipping into nerd rage, and I get like, back up, and I'm like, okay, I'm losing my audience, I'm losing my audience.
You gotta walk away and come back.
I gotta, yeah, that's what's taking so long, because I keep walking into nerd rage, and I'm just like, fuck it. Walk away. The actual problem we have here is, you know, it's just... Not an easy piece to write. You know?
Very good.
It's about me. What about yourself?
I don't really have too much planned at the moment. I'm sort of on vacation this week, so I don't have much planned. But you can check Brian out on CastersCorner.com. You can check me out on the-newsbox.com, and you can check us both out on FanboyFactor.com.
And as always, to take us on the go, download us over at Stitcher and at iTunes, but the only way you're going to know when there's new episodes is to...
Subscribe.
Subscribe.
Jesus. Why haven't you subscribed yet?
Sign people up.
Come on, just do it.
What else are you doing?
They'll appreciate it. Whoever you're signing up, I swear we'll appreciate it.
Let's face it, the boss is yammering on and on and on. We're good to listen to at work.
Yeah, you're not listening to that guy anyway. I know I'm not.
Yeah, I just don't know.
All right, Brian.
All right.
I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Later.